Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
By Marchman to Shane. The breakaway pass to Donoff. And a save by Blackwood. Mackenzie Blackwood saves the day. With a nifty glove save off to Donoff.
There's not much to say besides what a glove save. And Mackenzie Blackwood coming up huge, huge for the Sharks.
I mean, power play sucks, so it's just pretty straight up there.
Good morning, everyone. We're on Morning Tide here on the Sharks Audio Network after the Sharks drop their third straight to start the year. As you can hear, I have a wee bit of a bug, and my throat is not as healthy as it would otherwise love to be right now, but I think it'll get better as I get warmed up here. So let's talk about that game last night. Mackenzie Blackwood was absolutely phenomenal, and I think one of the things that I've been very clear on with regard to his season last year is that his stat line was in no way indicative of the player that he was night to night for the San Jose Sharks. I think he was put often in situations where the San Jose Sharks did not give him enough support offensively or defensively, and I think that's probably part of the narrative from last night. But Mackenzie Blackwood saw 38 shots against, allowed two goals, which were in no shape or form his fault in the slightest, made 36 saves, had a .947 save percentage, was out there through thick and thin, made huge saves, kept the Sharks in it just like he did in game number one. And this is Mackenzie Blackwood that he is expected to be. I mean, he was a highly touted prospect when he came into this league. Injuries derailed him from what I think he thought he was capable of being. But when you watch him have a game like he did last night, you see exactly what he can do in terms of making those big stops in the big moments. He can do it in terms of coming out and getting big and cutting down the angle, in terms of being athletic and moving side to side. I mean, he is just a big, athletic, capable netminder, and it's unfortunate that he's not getting the support that he needs. The Sharks, and we can talk about this in a second, need to give him more offense, need to give him a buffer zone, because he gave the Sharks a chance to win, and even in game one, he gave the Sharks a chance to win. He maybe was not at his best in the third period, but that's not just on him. For the San Jose Sharks, if they are going to win in the National Hockey League, they don't need to play a quote-unquote perfect game. Last year, it had to be darn near perfect. This year, it's got to be pretty darn good, and they were close last night. They've been close, but it wasn't good enough. Way for the Sharks to get it to be pretty darn good would have been to be better on the power play, and you heard it from Tyler Toffoli coming in. The power play was simply not good enough. 0-for-3 on the night, and I feel like if you have a 5-on-3 situation, if you are one of the upper echelon teams in the NHL, you've got to bury it in that situation. But the Sharks, they couldn't get quite settled, and you know, Dallas, they did a very good job of funneling the puck where they wanted it to go when they were 5-on-3. I think sometimes when you get that, you know, three-man setup defensively, it seems to make things a little bit not confusing, but it seems like there's so much open ice that it draws you in, and then you get a little bit too lackadaisical, and then you cycle the puck a little bit too much, and if you get a couple of breakups on there, which the Dallas PK did, then you can lose all your flow and momentum and continuity, and that's, you know, that's where the Sharks were on that 5-on-3 situation last night. In the 5-on-4 situation they did have, they were a little bit better, but, you know, disappointment, because if you're on the road, if you have a 5-on-3, if you're in a winnable game, you want to be able to take advantage of those situations and give yourself an opportunity to win, and the Sharks couldn't do that. So that's a big issue going forward. It's not just about being better than the opposition, and I do give the Sharks a lot of credit, because Dallas, as everyone knows, is expected to be one of those final teams standing when the year comes to a close. The Sharks are not, and right now it's a matter of figuring out how they can get the most out of their game, how they can be a team that is able to take advantage of what is given to them. And there were instances of that last night. You know, Tyler Toffoli's goal was opportunistic. He stepped into a lane and made an interception and brought it back the other direction and put it in the back of the net. You know, Ty Dellandrea did similar, stepping into a lane, breaking things up, feeding Nico Sturm on the breakaway. Sturm had a chance, missed it, stayed with the puck, played it back into the crease or into the slot in a dangerous spot where you had Dellandrea crashing, who started off the play. He was able to put that in the back of the net. You need to be opportunistic, and it can't just be in the open game 5-on-5. When you have your time on the power play on the road, that to me is where you've got to win your games. That's where you've got to earn your points when you're not in your own building, when you're taking care of your business. Power play simply wasn't up to snuff. That's something that's got to improve. The penalty kill, though, has been phenomenal. And I think this is a really interesting aspect to watch of the Sharks' young season, because over the last couple of years, except for last year, the Sharks' penalty kill has been very, very good, going back to the 2019-2020 season. And, you know, even in 2018-2019, that was a different team. They were obviously in the Western Conference Final, but for the San Jose Sharks, you know, they saw it get away from them last year. And I can't tell you particularly why. Obviously, the injuries added up last year, the lack of just overall continuity last year. The roster had a lot of turnover. I think also the fact that you were losing games left and right, you always felt outgunned. It was a lot to handle. It was a lot on the shoulders of those players that were out there on the ice. And I think ultimately San Jose's got to be that much better on the PK this year. It's got to be a point of pride. It's got to be a point of their identity. And I think that if you can take that into your game, if you can make that a huge part of who you are, you'll give yourself that much more of a chance to really have success going forward. And right now you're perfect on the PK and losses. It doesn't feel rewarding, but you want to be able to have certain things that you feel like you can rely on from one game to the next. And right now that is, in my opinion, the penalty kill right now. And actually in all three of the games, even if the third period did get away from the Sharks in their opener against the Blues, I think that the netminding is an area of strength right now. So you have, you know, one big aspect of special teams that, you know, I can make an argument that might be more important than a power play, just because I think that you can rely on the penalty kill to keep you in games the same way that you can rely on the netminder to keep you in games. You can't always rely on the power play to keep you in games, because you might be down. If you're not stopping, you know, the opposition's time on the man advantage, that's on the PK. If you're not stopping other opportunities out there, that's team defense and netminding. The power play can give you opportunities, but if you're down 3-0 when you get your first power play, that's not going to quote-unquote keep you in a game. It might be able to fight your way back into it, but it's not going to keep you there. But having something to rely on, having something that you can kind of lean against in the tough times of the game, I think that's going to go a long way in the Sharks developing their mentality going forward as a team. And so that's got to be something that they have a strength in, and something that they can keep good during the year. They're not going to be perfect, but they are hopefully going to be consistently good in this area, because it was something that was lacking a year ago. And it's something that I think will be just a reliable source of identity for them, that when they are in situations where the going gets tough, that's where the tough get going. And that is relatively cliche, but I think that for athletes and for a team, you need to have strengths. I mean, the Sharks have been defined by weaknesses in recent years, but you need to have strengths. You need to be pointed in the right direction to give yourself this opportunity to get wins when they do come. And I think that tomorrow in Chicago is a phenomenal opportunity to get that win, to give yourself an opportunity to be that much better in games going forward. And when we do talk about, you know, guys that are going out there and give you something to rely upon, through three games, Tyler Toffoli is living up to his billing. He's getting goals. He's getting assists. He's making plays. He showed the importance of being opportunistic, which is something that was lacking from the Sharks game a year ago. I just give him a lot of credit because, A, he was very blunt in his post-game assessment, which we'll get into a little bit later, but B, he's out there leading by example, and he's going out there and making plays, and he's making things happen on the ice for San Jose. There's no given that that's just automatically going to happen. There's no just, hey, you know, you signed him, so he's going to go out there and perform even in the midst of being on a bad team. No, Tyler Toffoli is going out there and giving his all. And I think that is a huge sign to all the young players, everybody that needs to be better. They're saying, hey, that guy is getting a lot of money. He's coming in here. He doesn't care whether or not we're supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league or one of the best teams in the league. He's going out there and he's giving it his all. And it doesn't matter if he's with Macklin Celebrini or Mikhail Granlund or whoever's on that line centering things. he's out there and he's killing it. And I think that his effort defensively, I think that just his effort up and down the ice, I'm really liking what I'm seeing. I think that that is, in my opinion, one of those guys that you need to have those types of performances to show everybody else, this is how you play in the NHL. This is how we get it done. This is ultimately what it takes to win in the NHL. And I think Ty Dellandrea has shown that. I think Nico Sturm has shown that. I think Jan Ruda has shown that. I think that Barclay Goodrow has shown that, even though he got called for an unfortunate high stick where he's just trying to go out in there and move the puck away and ended up catching the opposition in the face early on for a 4-minute penalty because they drew blood. But, you know, those veterans, we talked about this, it's not just about their talent, it's about their mentality. And when you combine the mentality with the talent, yeah, you're going to end up with a high-level result, and I give Tyler Toffoli a lot of credit for that. Ty Dellandrea came through with a huge goal last night, his first of the year for San Jose. If you didn't hear the interview I did yesterday with Owen Newkirk of DLLS Sports on the build-up, I urge you to go listen to it because I asked him right off the bat about Ty Dellandrea, because the first thing that everybody noticed when he came to San Jose is, God, what a good dude. You know, this guy is such a nice guy, such a character guy, treats everybody with respect, engaging, happy to be here across the board. And, you know, that was the mentality that he had for everyone in Dallas. And he was their number one overall pick in the first round overall pick in the 2018 draft, which was in Dallas. And I think the idea with him is that he was the odd man out, is that he was not able to kind of find his footing in Dallas the way it was working out. But, you know, he gives his body up on every single shift. He's working his tail off. He has that mentality that you need from your bottom six to go out there and have high-level play. But in a big moment in the game, he came through with the play that started it all to break up a pass and then feed Nico Sturm on the breakaway. And then he followed the puck, followed the play, and was there to pick up the loose change, put it in the back of the net, and give the Sharks the lead once again. Now, that's hard to hold on to that lead on the road when you're going up against a team as good as Dallas. But for him, he's scoring on his best friend, Jake Oettinger. He's scoring against the team that traded him, and he's showing the team that traded for him that they were right to do so, because I think every athlete, when they get to their new team, they want to show the new team they're right to want to invest in you and your future, and show the old team that they were wrong to let you go. Because, yeah, I think that's got to be the way you feed yourself, got to be the way you paint the narrative of, this team was wrong about me, this team is right about me, and I'm going to show you why. And I think Ty Dellandrea did a very good job of showing that in this game, and he's going to be a guy who Sharks fans are going to continue to appreciate. And I think that this first goal will hopefully be what gets him going and hopefully helps the Sharks offense going, because it's not just about top line contributions, it's about everybody, and Dellandrea getting in on the fun. That's a big step towards the Sharks turning into the team that they want to be. Overall, though, I do think the team is improving. I think that across the board, they are better than where they were a year ago. And I know that that is a low bar to clear, but, you know, the Sharks didn't pick up their second point until they got their first win of the year in November, when they beat a Philadelphia team and then they beat Edmonton the following game. But that was after the Sharks had a double-digit losing streak to start the year. The Sharks, in all three of their games, have been in it up to this point. In game number one of the season, yes, they let go of a 4-1 lead. That's inexcusable, but it is a learning moment. And they showed some positivity, and we also saw that Macklin Celebrini is the real deal. In game number two of the year, it's a scoreless game against Anaheim until about halfway through the third period, and then you give up an empty netter after that point when you're down 1-0. You lose 2-0 when all is said and done. To me, that is a good performance. Yes, you would like more offense, but that ultimately is a game that the Sharks gave themselves a chance to win, and that's what I'm expecting from the Sharks, a chance to win. You want them to give themselves an opportunity to win games. In this third game of the season in Dallas, you once again had the Sharks in a winnable situation. They had the lead twice. They were never trailing, and they did their job on a penalty in the shootout, or excuse me, in the overtime period, took it to a shootout. You heard me maybe allude to it on NBC Sports California on the Sharks pregame and postgame show. I don't like 3-on-3, and I don't like the shootout. I don't think those have anything to do with the game we just watched. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that way, but yeah, that was, you know, that was a game that ended in favor of Dallas at home on a shootout. I can't fault the Sharks for being quote unquote bad in this game. They weren't great, but they are showing signs of improvement across the board. And so that's what I think you want, is improvement. And they're showing that so far. Now, it hasn't resulted in wins, but they are getting points in 2 out of 3 games. They've got two more on the road. Chicago is a beatable opponent, in my opinion, and so it would be nice if the Sharks could pick up that first win, but it's easier said than done. But the other thing that I'm paying attention to is the attitude. We have seen it from Tyler Toffoli. We've heard it from Nico Sturm. We've heard it from Mackenzie Blackwood, Ryan Warsawski. Everyone seems to think that things are pointed in the right direction. I think that it's important to acknowledge that that is part of the narrative of where they are today versus where they are a year ago versus where they are 2 years ago. The team is getting better. They are showing signs of being a better, more disciplined, more complete team than they were a year ago. And it's not like they're the only team that's off to a tough start to the year. Just look at the bottom of the Pacific Division. The Oilers are 1-3 overall with 2 points. Vancouver is 0-1-2 with 2 points. Anaheim is 1-1 with 2 points. That's not exactly, you know, showing the Sharks that they are significantly better teams or that the Sharks are that much worse. Let's look at the Colorado Avalanche, 0-3 to start the season. Let's look at the Nashville Predators, 0-3 to start the season. Let's look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, 1-2 to start the season. Same story with Carolina, 1-1 for the Washington Capitals. Let's look at the Buffalo Sabres, 1-3. I mean, these teams have the same amount of points as the Sharks. The Detroit Red Wings, 1-2. Listen, points are points. I know that we want wins, but again, the Sharks are not the worst team in the league right now. And if I had told you that two playoff teams like the Avs and the Predators were winless, whereas the Sharks had points up to this point of the year, you'd probably be like, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, it's early in the year. Each and every team is learning themselves. Each and every team is figuring it out. All right, my voice is not up to the task right now, so I'm going to let it rest, and you are all going to get some more post-game sound and more as we continue here on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Let's hear Ty Dellandrea in his post-game presser.
What you saw on your goal there, the defensive play you made up high there.
Yeah, we talked about it in training camp of taking the wide side guy there, and obviously he made the turnover, and we had a 2-on-1 rush there.
Speaking, though, of the offensive side of it, you guys had that 5-on-3 in the third period there, big moment there. What could you guys have improved on that 5-on-3?
Well, obviously it wasn't very good, and we had other opportunities on power play after that as well, and we didn't capitalize. Probably one of the reasons why we lost the game.
Does that speak to sort of the aggressiveness that maybe you guys still need to add at these kind of pivotal points in the game, but points where you can win the game?
I mean, power play sucks, so it's just pretty straight up there.
What can you say about Mackenzie Blackwood's performance tonight?
He was awesome again. He was great in the first game too, and definitely kept us in the game. Was it in the second period? I think they kind of hounded us. So he was great again, and like I said, gave us a chance to win the game.
Were you encouraged though in the third period? Besides that 5-on-3, but the 5-on-5 play in the third period though was a good response from that second period.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely better than previous third periods, but at the same time not good enough, and we lost the game.
What's sort of the overarching message then to the guys after a tough loss here?
No, I mean obviously we have to, like I was saying, we have to get better. We have to improve in a lot of different areas, and you know, obviously look at some of the positives, but at the same time realize that we lost and we got to get in the win column.
Great stuff there from Tyler Toffoli, being very blunt and matter of fact when talking about the Sharks and where they are right now. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski.
Ryan, another tough loss tonight. What's sort of the mood of the room?
I think everyone's a little frustrated and probably a little somber, but, you know, we got to move forward.
Can you speak of some of the positives, especially in the third period? Because in the second period, it looked like the Stars were kind of taking control of the game. But in the third, there was a good pushback, especially 5-on-5.
Yeah, I thought we had some good chances in the third to score. Did some good things. You know, we started playing above them a little bit more. Obviously, your team that likes to get vertical and stretch. And I thought we did a better job of that in the third. And we pushed there a little bit and didn't sit back on our heels, which is a positive. But obviously, we want to win.
I know that you're maybe a little tired of hearing it last year, but does this feel different, though? Just these losses, like, it's not just the score, but the games seem close, the play seems tighter, the forecheck, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, last year was last year. We've completely moved forward, and we're doing some good things. Some things we still got to do a lot of things better in some areas and more consistently, but, we've done some good things. We've still got to continue to grow.
That learning to win portion of things, you know, we've talked with some of the guys about it, that like aggressiveness that you need in the third period. It looked like you guys had a lot of that in third period, except for on that 5-on-3. So what could have been better there?
Yeah, we'll go back and look at it. Just didn't get to the looks that we wanted to get to. Obviously, we've worked on it, and, you know, we got to look at it again and make sure we're all on the same page. It just looked like it was a little disconnected. And obviously, in a 5-on-3, in that type of game, we got to be ready to go. And I thought we were just a little disconnected.
Yeah, Phil, obviously, you didn't get the goal, but then you guys had the 5-on-4 later. That was much better looking. So was that sort of a saving grace there to some degree?
If we scored, it may be a saving grace. I wouldn't say it was a saving grace. It was, I mean, we have good players out there. We should be able to, you know, get some grade A chances. And obviously got a couple there in that last one, but just not enough.
Can you speak to Mackenzie Blackwood's performance tonight?
He was outstanding. Really good.
Especially that save by Dandanoff.
Yeah, on the breakaway save, big save. You know, that was a moment where we needed the save and we got it. And I thought we kind of responded from it, got some momentum off of it. So he was really good tonight.
Before the tied DeLandre goal, it was kind of a TV timeout, but then you started off with that line, DeLandre and Sturm, and that spoke, you know, in the defensive zone. I think that spoke a lot to just how good a game they had today. Can you just speak to just their game today?
Yeah, I thought that line was, I think that line's been one of our best lines all three games. Consistent. They know what their identity is. Their forecheck's good. They're good in their own end. I know they've gotten scored on a little bit, but they give us some really good minutes. They know what their identity is as a line and as individuals. I thought Ty was really good again tonight, and Sturmey and Grundy can forecheck, so they all complement each other really well.
And speaking of a strong identity line, seemed like also, too, that you leaned on your third line, Alex Wenberg, a lot. Can you speak specifically about Alex and his quality of play this year?
Smart player. Plays underneath the puck where we, you know, he's really defensive-minded, where he can understands what's happening in the game. His hockey IQ is high. He can make plays and hold on to pucks. You know, I think that he's been really, I thought tonight was probably one of his better games, and that line was again solid for us. You know, I think there's another level they can get to offensively, but a step in the right direction.
And not a lot of time to think about this loss going right to Chicago. Just what's the message to the guys?
We'll talk and meet tomorrow and continue to pluck away on the things that we need to improve on, be more consistent with it, and just kind of take tomorrow as it comes. And we're going to practice tomorrow, and we're going to focus on our practice and getting better and executing and learning and being more consistent in a lot of different areas. And then when we get to the game on Thursday, we'll focus on the game. But tomorrow, we're going to focus on tomorrow.
And I do think there is a lot to be said to that day-by-day mentality that Ryan Warsofsky is espousing. I think if you start focusing too much on the future, you lose sight of the here and now. You have to focus on what you did that was good. You have to focus on what you did that needs improvement, and you go from there. Because, again, I am not looking to the Sharks' first few games and saying this, that, or the other thing is particularly bad. It's just, quote-unquote, not good enough. And I know that that is not the ideal outcome, but you want to be in that situation where you're looking at the minute details as opposed to the huge whole picture and saying, oh, dear God, how do we improve upon this? The Sharks right now are looking at more little things to improve upon as opposed to the past where it was just everything across the board. Let's hear from Randy and Drew and their thoughts after last night's game.
Early in this season, considered the Dallas Stars early in this season, considered by many to be among the favorites to go all the way and win a Stanley Cup this season. Haven't heard anybody pick the Sharks for that, but boy, did they play this Dallas Stars team tough again here tonight, as they did 2 out of 3 times last year. You know, you look back at that 5-on-3 power play that the Sharks really seem to be just off kilter with. If they have a break there, score a goal there, maybe this is a different result.
Yep, that was probably the critical moment in having this game go to where it went to in the shootout. But when you look at this game, I think one of the things that Ryan Warsofsky might talk about is the fact that they managed the game very well. After that 5-on-3 that didn't go anywhere, Dallas picked up the pace and they started pushing the Sharks, but the Sharks managed to wrestle it back. Ryan talks about game management being a key. I thought they managed the game really well today. I thought they had a lot of really good details in their game. I thought you saw more guys contributing to the cause. I thought Cody Ceci and Jake Wallman were absolutely fantastic. McKenzie had a terrific game. Overall, when you look at the way the Sharks played and played game one versus game two, now game three, you're seeing those improvements that Ryan's looking for. Now you've got to find find a way to add another detail, to be able to find a way to get the 2 points.
Great to see Ty Dellandrea come here to Dallas and get a goal for the San Jose Sharks. And Tyler Toffoli now, 2 goals in his first 3 games in Teal, and Mackenzie Blackwood, a great bounce-back game here against the Dallas Stars tonight.
And I wanted to give you a taste of the discussion that Alan Hoshida and I had when this game came to a close.
I think that what this comes down to, unfortunately, is that Dallas is a team that's expected to contend for the Stanley Cup when this year comes to a close. The San Jose Sharks, on the other hand, Alan, are not.
So they did all those things, like you said. They absorbed it. They kept it 2-2 into overtime. McKenzie made some big saves, and then it goes in the shootout, and Dallas goes Robertson, Duchesne, Wyatt Johnson. Pretty killer three there for them to send out there.
Yeah, we also got to see Will Smith out there for San Jose, which is good. I know that in the develop camp scrimmage, he had the game winner on a shootout. Oh. And, yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood, he's going up against some top-level talent. Mikael Granlund, he had a nice finish for San Jose. But, you know, if you get behind in these shootouts and you're on the road, you can feel the roar of the crowd behind the home team and just too much for San Jose to deal with. And, you know, Alan, you and I, I'm sure, could have a longer conversation about why I do not love the shootout or the 3-on-3, because it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the game of hockey that we just saw. But, hey, that's a longer discussion. Yeah, I think people at home might understand my thoughts on that.
You got a rule change is what you're trying to say.
I got a couple things I'd like to change.
And I alluded to it as we started out this thing, is that the power play had their opportunities. They had a 5-on-3, the first of the season, in that third period. They also had another power play later, but they just couldn't cash in, and the Stars were on their heels during this time.
Yeah, they did not capitalize on the opportunities. And there's something about a 5-on-3 situation where it seems to funnel the puck very effectively, and that's what Dallas did. And you also had Ottinger, you know, coming up big at different points during this game. But, you know, the Sharks just didn't look as connected on the power play as I would have liked them to have looked. They didn't look as cohesive. It's different. You're in a situation where you feel like the game can break in that moment. Team might have been gripping, putting a little bit too much pressure on themselves. But these moments where the Sharks are, quote unquote, so close, as much as we feel it here in the studio, you watching at home, I know you're aware of it as well. Imagine what that dressing room is like right now, because in all three of their games so far, they've been right there. In game number one, it went to overtime, in which they lost in the 3-on-3. In game two, they didn't give up their first goal until halfway through the third period. Then this one, it goes overtime. It goes to a shootout. They've got to be just chomping at the bit to feel like they should be walking away with 2 points. They're close.
And before we run out of time, I did want to give you a taste of what Dan Ruzanowski and Alex Stalock, making his debut on the audio network last night, had to say after the game was said and done.
From American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, the final score in the shootout, the Dallas Stars 3, the San Jose Sharks 2. And I know a loss is a loss is a loss, but the Sharks made another step forward in their season tonight. I'm Dan Rusinowski along with Alex Stalock. Alex, first of all, great goaltending performances on both sides as we show respect to the position that you played in your NHL career. But also, I think that the Sharks really did take a step forward in many respects. They get 1 point, they're going to have to settle for that. I think they'll probably lament the fact that their 5-on-3 power play did not go as well as they would have liked. That was a big opportunity. But yet they stayed stride for 65 minutes with one of the better teams in the NHL.
Absolutely. And I think positive, too, is the penalty kill still is at 100% still, right? We talk about how important blocking shots are, keeping them to the outside. I think, you know, the coach are going to watch the game film tonight on the flight to Chicago, and I think they're going to see what they asked for, keeping the team to the outside, being on your toes, being on the inside, being on the right side of the puck. And, hey, I think 64 is going to show up a lot on that game film of doing the right things on the ice.
Two best players on the ice, Mackenzie Blackwood in goal, and 64, as you call him, Mikael Granlund, who wears that number. He was magnificent in all three zones, and I think I was as impressed with the way that he got back defensively as the battles that he won against bigger men most of the night.
Yeah, as the game wore on, Dallas wanted to really stretch the Sharks out and open the ice up, and you saw it right away in the second period, and there was times where that creates a forward that needs to get back and cover, not just defense. Defense might be up in the play, creating offense, or skating the puck in, where a forward needs to know and be responsible. There's a couple times you recognize, hey, they're taking off, they're stretching. I got to get back, I got to get above, I got to be on the right side of the puck, I got to be on the inside. And they did a good job doing that.
Final score in the shootout, Dallas 3, the Sharks 2. San Jose falls back to 0-1-2 on the season. They have 2 points on the year. While Dallas is a perfect 4-0, their shutout streak at home came to an end as the Sharks scored the first goal of this game and had the lead 2-1 halfway through the game, a little bit more than that. But ultimately, Dallas would tie it, and it came down to a test of skills between two teams, and Dallas would win it out. When we come back, we will give you the instant replay as to how it all happened next on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
That wraps it up for us. I apologize for my voice. I'll see you on Thursday as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Blackhawks. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yeah.